You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Foolproof. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hey, New Point, I want to welcome each and every one of you. I want you to know that I love you, and I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses. If this happens to be your first time here, we are one church in five different locations. We're in Dover, we're in Coshocton, we're in Millersburg, we're in Worcester, and we are in Canton. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're concluding a series, and here's what it's called. It's called Foolproof, Dealing with Idiots and Other Difficult People. Now, I just want to give you a short commercial for next week, because we're kicking off another series, and I promise you, you don't want to miss it. If you're taking action on the truth that you're learning in this series, then you absolutely need this next series. And it's called #NoFilter. Because here's what I know. In dealing with the fools in our life and the difficult people in our life, even if we are one of the fools, okay, we need infrastructure in our inner person. And that's what we're going to talk about starting next week. How do you develop the inner strength of your person so that what happens is, no matter what happens, whether it's relational or whether it's just in life, you are equipped to handle it. So invite your family and friends next week, because I'm going to give you tremendous truth and it's going to be very, very, very helpful. Now, as we've gone through this series, Foolproof, Dealing with Idiots and Other Difficult People, I know that it can be overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming. And you can throw up your hands and you can quit and you can say, you know what, there's just no hope. There's just no hope. And I want you to know that there's absolutely hope for each and every one of us. No matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter how big or how difficult or how powerful you might think your fool is, there's hope for you. Because here's what I want us to understand today. God has a plan for the fool. God has a plan for the fool. And so if you have one in your life, God has a plan for your fool. And maybe you would say even this, Dwight, I am the fool. Well, God has a plan for you as well. And I want to tell you a story, okay? It's found in Daniel chapter 4. I'm just going to give you the overview of it, but you can read it. And it's about a man named Daniel. He had a boss. His short name was Neb. His full name was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was large and he was in charge. And yet King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the biggest fools that ever lived. He was enamored with himself and he thought that everyone who lived should bow to him and serve every wish and demand that he asked of them. And he had a dream. And this dream came to him. God spoke to him in a dream. And he asked one person after another person after another person, can you tell me what this dream means? Can you tell me the truth? Daniel was the only one who could do it. But it was a daunting task because it was going to be some hard truth. It was going to be some difficult truth. And the problem was Daniel actually cared for the king. He had a relationship with King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had promoted him. And no doubt Daniel struggled to be the one to give the king the message. And yet he took courage in hand and he told the king. And you say, what did he tell the king? He basically told the king this. And you can read it in Daniel chapter 4. I want you to quit sinning and humble yourself. If you don't, God is going to send you off for a long, long time until you can get your life back in right perspective. Wow. Anybody here like to deliver that message? To your boss, to your leader, to your dad, to your mom? The problem was King Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. And a couple of years, guess what? It unfolded. It didn't happen immediately. Many times it doesn't. But it began to unfold in his life. And he was removed from his position of being king. He was removed from the people. And he became mentally ill. Sometimes that happens to fools. And he became like an animal. And scripture says that his hair grew real long and his fingernails grew real long. And he acted and behaved like an animal. Can you imagine how hard that was for Daniel to watch, to unfold? Someone that he cared about, someone that he served, someone who had blessed his life. Had to be painful, had to be hard, had to be gut-wrenching. He probably had to say to himself, you know, I tried to warn you, I tried to tell you, but you didn't take my words to heart. And so now you're experiencing the consequences. And if you read it in Daniel chapter 4, according to his own account, King Nebuchadnezzar eventually, 7 years, I hope it doesn't take you that long, I hope it doesn't take me that long, but for 7 years, he acted and behaved like an animal and was removed. And yet scripture tells us that he came to his senses and he declared, and here's what he declared, God is right and I am wrong. God is in charge and I am not. So I will do whatever he asks. Wow. Finally, King Nebuchadnezzar understood that there was a God and he wasn't God. And he was restored to his right mind. His whole perspective of God and life and people changed. And Daniel saw a miracle that happened. And Daniel was reassured in his own heart that God could do what he could not do himself for even someone who he cared. And you might say, Dwight, I don't want my foal to go through that. I don't want my foal to go through pain. I don't want my foal to experience loss. I don't want my foal to have difficulties and hard times. I love him. I love her. I love them too much for that. Let me ask us a question here today. And here it is. What would you be willing for your foal to endure in order to leave behind their foolishness and know God truly? What would you be willing for your foal to endure in order to leave behind their foolishness and truly know God? What would you be willing to release to God in order for your foal to be changed? Because he's going to ask you to release something. What would you be willing to release for your foal to be changed? Maybe control. Maybe protecting. Might be a number of different things. But you see, what we have to understand is you can't change your foal. That's one of the things that we've said week after week after week after week. Your talking, your caring, fill in the blank, will never be able to change your foal. You can't do it. But Daniel is a witness. Daniel is a witness that God can. You see, there's something inside of you and there's something inside of me that thinks that we can save somebody. That we're the Savior. And if we just say the right words, if we just behave in the right way, that somehow the light's going to turn on in our foal's life and they're going to be different. That's not the case. You see, none of us here today are a savior. We're not the savior. Here's a definition of a savior: one who brings salvation or freedom or deliverance from danger or destruction. A savior is one who is able to deliver. And that's not you. And that's not me. You see, we have a savior. The role of the savior has been filled through the person of Jesus Christ. He has come to be your savior and to be my savior, God in the flesh. And being a savior is above your pay. Right? It's above your pay grade. You're not getting paid enough to be a savior. You can't be that savior. And so if you're dominated and controlled by a fool who you love and you feel kind of helpless and hopeless and yet responsible, I want to tell you that there's hope, but it's not in you. It's not in you. It's in God, because only God can change a fool. You see, here's what we have to realize. You didn't cause it. You can't cure it. You can't even control it. There is one Savior, and it is not you. There is one Savior, and it's not you. And so we have to come back, and we have to realize, and we have to embrace this truth, that I can't change my fool. I can't change my fool. Now, what happens when you and I set them free? And we say, you know what? God, I can't change them. There's nothing that I can do. What happens? Well, let me give you some things that will begin to occur in your life when you begin to let go. First of all is this. When you begin to let go, you will begin to free yourself from binding chaos and complications. Your chaos and the complications of life will lessen. It will lessen. And what happens is this. Your life will become less complicated because of it. Here's another one, and it is this. When you let go and you begin to release your fool to the natural consequences of their behavior, okay, what happens is they will begin to experience pain. And you know what we say around here? Here's what we say around here. Until the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, there'll be no change. And so when you let go and you begin to release them and allow them to experience the natural consequences of their choices, something incredible will begin to happen. Here's another thing. When you and I begin to let go, you begin to step out of denial into reality. You begin to step out of denial into reality. Here's what I believe. God doesn't give you and I grace for that which is not real. He only gives you and I grace for that which is real. He's a God of truth. He's a God of reality. And when you and I step out of denial, and by the way, denial is not a river in Egypt. It's something that runs in all of our veins. When we step out of that denial and we face the truth and we face reality, then guess what God does? He gives us His grace. And what is His grace? His grace is the power to help you and I deal with reality. If you and I are not living in reality, then we are on our own. And we will not experience His grace. You shall know the truth. You shall know reality. And God will give you His grace, and it'll set you what? It'll set you free. Here's another thought. When you let go, you begin to remove yourself from their realm of influence. And what is influence? Let me give you a definition of influence. Influence is when somebody influences your thinking and your behavior. And what happens is when you let go of that fool, you will begin to remove yourself from their realm of influence. They will no longer influence your thinking that you're going crazy and your behavior. How about this one right here? When you let go, you begin to give up responsibility for your fool. You know what happens? you'll begin to let go of fatigue because you won't be exhausted anymore, because a full will wear you out. Trying to keep up with him, trying to keep up with her, trying to cover for them, trying to rescue for them, all of that. And so when you let go, you will begin to give up responsibility for your full. And what happens is you'll begin to experience a new level of life, of peace. And then finally, this right here. When you let go, you begin to be intentional and live by faith. You begin to be intentional and live by faith. Wow. Now what happens is you're not distracted. You're not distraught. You're not discouraged. You're not defeated. Now you're living with intentionality, and you're going to live by faith. You're going to trust God and say, God, you know what? I'm not his savior. I'm not her savior. You are, and I'm going to live by faith. And that's exactly what Daniel did. You see, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, the people who know their God will display strength, courage, and take what? And take action. They will take action. And Daniel discovered this. Daniel discovered by letting go, sometimes it's the most strongest, most courageous, most empowering, most loving thing you can do. And you're not a failure when you let go. And you're not giving up when you let go. You are surrendering to a God who can bring about hope and healing for your full. Daniel says, the people who know their God. Do you know God or do you know about God? See, people who know God are courageous. Are you courageous? If you're not courageous, check whether you really know God. Maybe you know about God. See, Daniel knew God. That's why he refused to give in. Yeah, you say, is this Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah, this is the Daniel in the lion's den too. You see, what happens is because he knew God, he had courage, he had strength. He wasn't bucking down to no one. And guess what he did? He took action. You see, when you know God, you will take actions. You won't be sitting on your hands. You won't be running away. You'll be saying, here's a problem. Here's an issue. I need to deal with it. I need to take action with it. And God's going to give me the strength. He's going to give me the courage. He's going to give me the grace to be able to handle that. And if you're running away from all of your problems, then you need to check. Do I really know God, or am I just a religious person? Y'all okay? Because people who know their God will display courage and they will take action. You see, listen, if there's anybody on planet Earth who should do relationships well, it should be people who know God. Because God's a relational God. He even came to Earth to let you and I know how to do it. He gave us the example through Jesus Christ on how to relate to one another and even how to deal with fools, because Jesus had a lot of people who were in his life who were just flat out foolish, who wanted to control him, manipulate him, shame him, guilt him, and he handled it. So we have to come back to the realization, maybe I need to get to know God better. Maybe I need to be more intentional in finding out who God really is. And that's more than just coming and taking notes, and I'm glad that you're taking notes. But it's really seeking God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and saying, God, I'm desperate for you. I need you. Instead of just using him as a ticket to get to heaven. Y'all okay? I love what Jan has to say. Jan Sylvius. And by the way, I would encourage you to get her book. It's been one of my resources. It's called Foolproofing. It's incredible. I would get it and read it because it'll take you much further than what we're going on in the weekend. But here's what she said. She said, when you stop being your full savior, doormat, and guardian angel, all rolled into one, he, or I would say she, will face the stark reality that he or she is left alone to face God. Wow. That's humbling. That's startling. She goes on to say this, only then can you see what God can do. Only when you give your full to God will you ultimately be able to see what God can do. Only then. Otherwise, you will be the savior. And you will need strength and courage to take action. Where'd Daniel get his? He knew God. Listen to me. When you fear God, when you reverence God, when God is ultimately first, when your ultimate goal is to honor God and not your fool, then you'll have the courage to deal with your fool. That was good, wasn't it? Huh? When your ultimate goal in life is to honor God and not your fool, then you'll deal with your fool. King Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful man. Unbelievable. Daniel went up against him. You know why? Because he knew God. He knew God was greater than his fool. Do you know that? Or are you looking to your fool as your God, the one who resources you? There's another fool in the Bible. Okay, I'm so glad about the Bible. You got to believe the Bible because you can't make this stuff up. In Luke chapter 15, there's a story about a young man. And he got tired of living under his daddy's roof because he just didn't want to be told what to do. He thought he was wiser, smarter, more clever. He thought that he knew life. And he was entitled. And he was prideful, all of that. And so his father decided, you know what? I can't control him. I can't do that. And so I'm just going to let him go. I'm going to set him free. And if he wants to go, go. I'll even give him his inheritance. And that's exactly what happened. And you can read it in Luke chapter 15. I think it's 11 through 32. And this young man went off, it says, and he sowed his wild oats. That's what fools like to do. They're into pleasure, power, possession, and prestige. Because they think that all of life revolves around them, that they should not be denied anything. So what happens is, the story goes on to say that it had run its course. And by the way, for every fool, it always runs its course. And for this young man, it ran its course that he found himself working at a farm feeding pigs. By the way, he happened to be a Jewish boy. That does not go together. And he even found himself eating the pig's slop. That's where it ultimately led him. And Scripture would tell us that he comes to his senses. And he begins to think, you know what? I'm not used to this. Life used to be better. Even when I was living under, quote unquote, daddy's roof. When I was living under somebody else's authority. And so what happens is it says that he came to his senses. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rise up and I'm going to go home because you know what? My daddy's servants are living better than me. They got it better than me. And so what happens is the story goes on that he rises up and he comes back to his father. And you know what he says to his father? He admits his wrong. He says, Dad, I am sorry. I am sorry. And I'm not even asking to be one of your kids anymore. I'd just like to be one of your slaves. I'm sorry, he admitted that he was wrong. You know what else he did? He made no demands. He made absolutely no demands. He just says, do with me as you please. I'd just like to come underneath your umbrella. And he repented. And by the way, that's when you know that your fool has changed. They change the way in which they think, they make no demands, and they exhibit humility. Guess what happened? The dad throws a party. You know why? Because really, if you love your fool, you want to be able to have that kind of relationship. and he put a ring upon his finger, a robe on his back, sandals upon his feet, and he says, okay, you know what? We can have a party. But it all came to the fact that the fool admitted that he was wrong. He humbled himself, and he made no demands. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs about how to deal with a fool. Maybe you're a fool. We've all played it. Solomon has a word for us today. Here's what he says. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. You'll never be successful in relationships as long as you refuse that you are wrong or that you've done anything wrong. He goes on to say this. But if he or she confesses and forsakes them, that's what the prodigal son did. He gets a what? Another chance. He gets another chance. You know what that's called? Humility. It's called humility. Whenever you and I come with humility, you know what? God always gives us a second chance, a third chance. If we're unwilling to admit our wrong or mistake, you know what? You're left to yourself. And pride goeth before the fall, destruction. Moses was one who had to confront a fool as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, by faith, Moses left Egypt. He left Egypt. He left that which was familiar. Listen, he was Pharaoh's son. He had everything taken care of him, except he didn't have control of his own life. Pharaoh was controlling his life. And it says here, by faith, he left Egypt. If you're going to deal with your fool, you've got to leave your Egypt, even though it's familiar, even though you know what you're getting. And you say, what is faith? Here's what we say faith is around here. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he's promised to do. And so Moses believed that God was who he said he was and that he would do what he'd promised to do. And so here's what happens. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. That's why we don't leave our fool. You know why? Because we're afraid of their anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. He knew God. Your view of God is the most important thing about you. He saw God as more powerful than Pharaoh. He saw God more powerful than what Pharaoh could do to him or not give him. And so it is with you and me. We have to deal with that. Solomon would say it like this, and I'm sure that Moses took heed to this. Fearing people or fearing your fool is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Trusting the Lord means safety. You're going to trust your fool, you're going to trust God. You see, here's what we have to understand. I am going to trust God and look to him alone to be my source and resource, and I will keep my focus on him. That's what Moses did. He says, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to look to him alone to be my source and resource, and I'm going to keep my focus on him. I'm going to look to him who is invisible. You see, you and I have to understand this right here. You and your fool both have a very great need, and only God can meet it. And if you don't let him do that, then you are the fool. You play the fool. And so foolproofing your life is a serious journey. It's a serious journey, but not a hopeless one. There's hope for all of us. And you say, how can I experience hope, Dwight? How can I set my fool free? How can I let him or her go? Let me give you some things as we wrap up here today. It's what Daniel did. It's what the father did. It's what Moses did. Let me give them to you. Number one, become responsible for yourself. For yourself. Become responsible for your words, for your behavior. Set your boundaries. Become responsible for yourself. Your 20 square feet, okay? Become responsible for yourself. That's who you're supposed to be. You're responsible to other people, but you're responsible for yourself. Secondly, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Not just your fool, every area of your life. You're crazy to deal with your full if you're not fully submitted to God. Because here's God's promise to you and me. God's promise is this. God takes full responsibility for the life that is fully surrendered to Him. So if you're not fully surrendered to God, I wouldn't take on your full. Because you're probably no match for him or her. If you're fully surrendered to God, you have nothing to fear. Here's the third thing. Release your full to God. Release your full to God. Just admit and just say, hey, you know what? I can't change him. I can't change her. God, only you can change him. And so you give your full to God. And you say something like this. You pray something like this. God, I give you, fill in the blank, to you. Have your way with them. And I promise you, listen. I promise you I will not interfere. Get their attention however you want to. For Nebuchadnezzar, it was 7 years of acting like an animal. For Pharaoh, it was all of his army being cast into the sea. And you know what? God tried to get his attention through the 10 plagues, but it didn't work. But you release your full. And then fourth, you access the power and the protection of God. You access the power and the protection of God. You just say, God, you know what? Fill me with your power. I empty myself. Fill me with your power to have the courage, to have the wisdom, to have the stamina, to have everything that I need to be able to live life in a way that's honoring you and pleasing to you. And then protect me, God. Protect me. And he will do for you what he did for Daniel, what he did for Moses, and what he did for the Father. He will do that. Now, it all comes back to one thing for you and me. And Peter gives us the prescription. Let's look at this last verse. Here's what he says. He says, all of you, that's all means what? All. That means me, that means you. And all of you, dress yourself in humility. That means that it's not my nature to be humble. It's not your nature to be humble. He says, all of you, dress yourself in humility. You have to be intentional about this. As you relate to one another, consider others better than yourself. Value them. He goes on to say this, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Uh-oh. He says, hey, you have a choice here. Either you're going to be fighting against God, or God's going to be fighting for you. And it all depends on whether you dress yourself with humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Here's what he says. So humble yourself under God's mighty power. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Not when you think it should happen, not when I think it should happen. I don't know how long it's going to take. But here's what God says. God says to you and God says to me, if you will humble yourself, here's my promise to you. At the right time, I will lift you up in honor. I will honor you. And other people will know it. And then he closes with this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And so in the process of you and I humbling ourselves, and that's not talking about being a doormat, okay? It's not talking about devaluing yourself. Humility just basically says, God, I'm not God and you are, and I want to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to trust in my wisdom, I want to trust in your wisdom. That's basically what humility is. God, tell me what to do. Tell me how you want to handle this. Because you are my source and resource. My full is not my source and my resource. How could Daniel go up against Nebuchadnezzar? Because he didn't see him as his source and resource. He saw somebody much higher. He saw God himself. How could Moses withstand the fear and the anger of Pharaoh? Because he didn't see Pharaoh as his source and resource. He saw him who was invisible. How could the father wait on his son, who he knew was basically living a self-destructive life, because he knew that God loved his son more than he loved his son. And so he could entrust his son with God. and how God would work in his life. And so give God all of your worries. God, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Why? Because he cares. And that word care there means he will do something about it. So let me close with this thought. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. God, today I'm not going to be the savior of my fool anymore. I'm committing her, I'm committing him to you. I'm committing my way to you. And I'm going to trust you. I believe that you love them more than I love them. I believe that you can bring hope and healing to their life. I can't. You're God and I'm not. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you promise you'll do. And he will act. You commit it to God. You trust. Keep your paws out of it. Okay? Don't try to rescue. Don't try to comfort. Okay? What you're called to do and what I'm called to do is this. We're called to love them. We're called to pray for them. And we're called to provide for legitimate needs. But listen to me. Listen to me. You can't convict. You can't correct. You can't convert. You can't do any of that. Only God can. But God will ask you and I to do what we can do. We can love them, we can pray for them, and we can provide for legitimate needs. But only God can enlighten. Only God can ultimately get their attention. Only God can ultimately save them. And he will. I promise you. If you and I will back off and surrender our full to God. But you know what? You have to surrender to God first. And if you're not fully surrendered to God today, you're a fool. So I want to give you that opportunity. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's take care of ourselves first. Would you just pray this simple prayer to God and just say, God, forgive me for not living a surrendered life to you. And today, I surrender everything to you. Everything. My marriage, my family, my work, my health, my finances, my hobbies. I surrender everything to you. When you and I do that, then we're in a position to surrender our full to him. Now say this, God, I surrender you my full. It's my spouse. It's my son. God, it's my daughter. It's my best friend. It's my boss. Just tell him, just say, God, I love them. I care about them. I ache for them. But I've come to know that I'm not a savior. You are. And so I surrender them to you. Help me, God, to live in a surrender state to you so that I can constantly commit them to you and trust in you and know that you will act. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.